Another day, another multi-billion dollar write-down.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Merrill Lynch announced it is writing off $5.7 billion. The country's largest brokerage blamed losses on mortgage securities and hedging contracts. Those losses now total more than $45 billion. Merrill did announce plans to raise money by selling more stock. The government's getting pretty involved in the markets these days. There's Congress's multi-billion dollar mortgage bailout bill. And last week, regulators put temporary restrictions on so-called short selling. The rules were supposed to prevent the stocks of certain companies, like banks, from going into a free fall. Those rules are set to expire at midnight tonight, though they could be extended. So, did they help? Marketplace's Bob Moon takes a look.
Short sellers borrow stock and then sell it. Then if the price falls before they have to return it, they can pocket the difference. It's called naked short selling when just the promise that shares will be borrowed is enough to carry out a trade. Since last week, short selling of 19 major financial stocks can't happen until traders prove the borrowed shares they're selling are essentially in hand. SEC Chairman Christopher Cox argued that should help keep abusive short selling from driving down prices. But it hasn't stopped some shares from sinking steadily ever since.
And if you look at the stock price of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac over the last 3 days, they're down, 30%?
John Standerfer is with the research firm S3 Matching Technologies. He says the extra paperwork is costly and time-consuming for smaller traders, but not the big guys.
This rule has created a lot of problems for retail investors. The larger players, you know, are much less encumbered by it.
Otherwise, he says the rule has little effect. Before it was imposed, short-selling trades he tracked involving those particular stocks totaled just 1%. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Short sellers may have been the only people making money yesterday. U.S. markets had a dismal day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost more than 2%. And today's been rough on Asian markets. Tokyo's Nikkei lost 1.4%. And Sony announced a 40% drop in quarterly profits. Hong Kong's index shed 1.8%. China's economy has taken a hit as growth has slowed in this country. Last year was boom time, and a lot of Chinese companies went public on Wall Street. This year, it's been a little less exuberant. But after a six-month dry spell, two Chinese companies are testing the American market this week. Lisa Chow reports.
The U.S. stock market has seen little IPO activity this year from any company, foreign or domestic. And Chinese companies have been grappling with their own pressures. Donald Strossheim is a China watcher for Roth Capital Partners in Los Angeles.
What I think most investors believe is that China's economy is going to be slowing, Olympics or no Olympics, and inflation remains pretty high. And that's pretty stiff current to run against when you're trying to do IPOs of companies in an economy like that.
Of the two Chinese IPOs coming to market this week, one is in online education, which is proving to be a huge growth business in China. The other company is a television advertising firm, which is more exposed to blips in the economy. Each company hopes to raise at least $75 million on the New York Stock Exchange. In Beijing, I'm Lisa Chow for Marketplace.
Telecom giant Alcatel-Lucent lost more than $1.5 billion last quarter. All told, its shares have lost more than 60% of their value in the last year. Heads are rolling. Alcatel-Lucent's CEO and chairman both announced they are stepping down today.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, global provider of fuels, power, and energy services. Committed to sound, efficient, sustainable energy solutions. Constellation.com.
High fuel prices have been showing up on our grocery bills, and that's raised interest in eating local and farming. But getting into farming is hard, right? Not necessarily, as Matt Hackworth reports.
Jeff Tober didn't grow up on a farm, but he's happiest doing farm chores, like washing out vegetable bins. He was hooked on agriculture even as a kid in the suburbs.
Seeing a potato growing in our compost pile, I think something really clicked, like, wow.
Tober learned how to farm by working for organic growers, but he couldn't imagine getting a farm of his own. With the cost of equipment and land, you'd almost have to be a millionaire, like on Green Acres, to buy a farm. But New Jersey's Farm Bureau says there's an influx of first-generation farmers. The state's agriculture secretary says the average New Jersey farmer is 55, but he's expecting the age to get younger as newcomers begin to farm. One reason is the Garden State aggressively protects more than 164,000 acres from development, and there are plenty of landowners, like Larry Kuser, who would like to see their land farmed by someone else. Kuser hired Jeff Tober to work his land.
Jeff is a wonderful farmer. I don't know anything about growing vegetables. I knew I couldn't do this myself. I needed somebody who knew what they were doing. He's fantastic.
On a hot Saturday morning, customers cart away bags from the farm store Kuser and Tober opened, full of greens and strawberries so fresh they show a trace of dirt from the field just outside. Subdivisions surround Kuser's farm, driving up the price of the land. But Tober says it also puts customers right at his fingertips.
When you're looking for a farm, two of the big questions you ask are, what are my soils and what's my market? And I think New Jersey offers very good soils in general, the Garden State, and the most densely populated state in the country, so access to very good markets.
In their second year, Kuser and Tober have dozens of families who have bought a share in their business in exchange for fresh fruits and vegetables. Now, 2 years into their community-supported agriculture partnership, Kuser and Tober hope to turn a profit next year. In Bordentown, New Jersey, I'm Matt Hackworth for Marketplace.
And this final note, we've all felt that paycheck pain when we see how much of our salary gets withheld for taxes. Turns out your employer might not be feeling that pain. That's according to a report out today from the Government Accountability Office. Evidently, over the past 10 years, companies have taken about $58 billion out of our paychecks that they have then failed to pass on to the IRS. Hey, maybe you should ask for that extra week of vacation. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.